Hey, let's get into the Word this morning. Daniel 3. Bear with me as I read the first 30 verses of Daniel 3. There's a lot to read here, but I want you to follow along as we look at this special section of Scripture about three men. And I've talked about these three men before, but... Tony? Oh, I'm sorry, you thought you were... We've talked about these three men before, and I've taught on them, but this is kind of another twist on these three gentlemen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen as I read in Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and width 6 cubits. That's 90 feet by 6 feet, just so if you don't have the old school measurements there, 90 by 6. He set it up in a plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, a certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you were ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, and we will not worship, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men who were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have trusted the king's word and yielded, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What a great story. What a great story of faith, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. This is a story that most of us are familiar with, probably from Sunday school time, maybe vacation Bible school time. It was a story of perhaps that we learned back then, and maybe we were even amazed back then, that God would protect these three men. But as we grew in our Christian walk, as we became stronger in the Lord, in that personal way, many of us began to experience maybe that same type of pressure upon our walk that was applied on those three men. It was applied by the world, by the flesh within us, by Satan, that pressure that's applied on us. We've come to understand that this thing that we call Christian life, Christian walk, is difficult. It's hard. It's not easy. We're at odds with the world in many ways. Romans 12:2 says this, Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way, and I love this, you think. Transforming the way we think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, we're pushed and pulled by the world. But God wants us to become that new person by changing the way that we think, what our mind goes to, how our mind runs wild sometimes. God wants to change that. He wants to change our thinking. You see, we're also at odds with the flesh that we live in. Galatians 5:17 says this, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. You see, with this conflict comes that temptation to conform to those influences around us, the way the world is pushing us, the way the flesh is pushing us, the way that Satan pushes us and throws things at us. We see that today in the Christian churches. We've talked about that. Pastor Ken has talked about that. Just last week, he said that somebody had posted on his Facebook page about some of the comments that we had made on the radio show a couple weeks ago, that if Jesus was walking on this earth today, that he wouldn't follow the scriptures. And when Pastor Ken shared that with me, I said, wow, that's where we're at. You see, it's an easy believism that so many churches are just going for now. They're conforming to what the world wants them to do. Thank goodness we don't do that here at this church, that we teach the Bible. We teach through the whole Bible and nothing but the Bible. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We see churches and homes and families and individuals who have left that high road of separation and have sold out to the world. You see, this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe, is so needed in our day today. When I studied this, I said, wow, this is what we've been talking about on the radio as we're going through Romans, the book of Romans. I've titled this topical teaching to this morning, How to Get on Fire for God. How to Get on Fire for God, and that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at that genuine faith in Jesus Christ, where that genuine faith is, there is fire. Our enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, they're going to try to extinguish that fire on us. But you see, if we follow the steps that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these things we're going to look at this morning, we can live for God. We can be that shining testimony for God as we go out into the world. We're going to break it down into three little sections this morning. The first one is number one, be different. Be different in your walk. Verses 1 through 7 cover that, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because it's a lot of words, but it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 by 6. He set it up in the plain of Dura, and he called all the high leaders together to come together to see it and to worship, and he called the grand symphony together to play music. And when the herald cried, they were to bow and honor that gold image that Nebuchadnezzar had put up. It looks like, if you go back in chapter 2 of Daniel, Daniel had interpreted the dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar, but it seems like King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't satisfied with what Daniel had interpreted. See, he wanted to establish his kingdom forever, so he made this huge image of solid gold. He set himself up as a god to be worshipped. Oh, his decree was for everybody to bow before that image. And those that didn't, they were subject to death. You see, it was here that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced that serious dilemma that was in front of them. There were temptations that they had to overcome. There were temptations that they had to overcome in order to be different. One of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to face the temptation to guard their positions. You see, they had high positions in the area of Babylon. There was a temptation to look and to guard where they were at. Daniel 2:49 says, And Daniel petitioned the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. You see, they were high officials. So they were probably tempted to bow. After all, they had great positions of influence. And they said, wow, look at what we can accomplish for God. But if we get ourselves killed, we're going to be no use to any of us. Maybe that was a temptation they had. I don't know. But they had to guard their positions. They had that temptation to guard their position. They had the temptation to avoid persecution. In verse number 6, And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You see, anybody who refused to bow was going to be burned. Maybe they were tempted to say, isn't it better to be a living coward than a dead hero? That furnace looks like a hard way to go. Maybe they were tempted to avoid that persecution. I don't know. Maybe they were tempted to conform to the way their peers were. There was a temptation for them to say, I want to be like everyone else. After all the other people are bowing. What's it going to hurt? I'll just bow on the outside, but you know, on the inside I'll be standing. I don't know that they faced those temptations, or maybe that's just a matter of my crazy speculation. I don't know. But I'm sure it was difficult. These were three young men in a foreign country facing a pretty severe penalty. You see, if we want to make an impact for God and the world around us, we're going to have to be different. We're going to have to be different. These men were different in their day, and that same thing is true of us. They were also willing to be separated. The three men were willing to be different from everyone else who was around them. I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, a long time ago, I was different. I had very short hair. I had black, thick rim glasses. I was in the band, which wasn't cool. I worked at Publix, so I had a pocket protector with pens. I was classified probably back then as a nerd, as a weirdo. That was different. I didn't like that. But you see, that's what God calls us to be, is different. He doesn't call us to follow all the fads of hairstyles and clothing, most popular TV show, newest expressions, all the cool emojis, if I'm saying that right, or whatever that is, I don't know. I'm lucky to be able to just text. I don't worry about sending all the little cute things. He calls us to be separated. That's what he calls us to be. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says it this way. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and what? And separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. He calls us to be separated. God wants his people, his children, what? To look different, to talk different, to dress different, to think different, to walk different, to act different than the world around us. That can be difficult, but that's what he calls us. He wants us to be separated. He wants us to be different. He wants us to stand out so much that we draw attention to ourselves. No, that we draw attention to Jesus, that people see Jesus in us. That's what he's calling. Matthew 5:13-16 says, you are the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? No. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as useless. Then I love this. It says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In that same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise who? Your heavenly Father. You see, that's what we are to be. We're to be different so people see Jesus and Jesus gets the glory. But you see, God also wants to be us to be a peculiar people. Have you thought about that? A peculiar people. I love Titus 2:14, and I like it in the King James Version, the older version, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself, what? A peculiar person, zealous of good works. A peculiar person. That's what God calls us to be separated, to be that peculiar person, to be different. You see, those three guys also had to take a stand. While everybody else in Babylon was bowing before this huge thing that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, these three men were standing straight. They were standing straight as arrows, and they wouldn't bow. We see that so often today, that people just give in to what the world wants. But these men didn't do that. They had made up their minds that they wouldn't bow. And they wouldn't do the things that they were being asked to do. They were strong. And I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And if you don't have this on your refrigerator or on your dashboard or on your bathroom mirror, this is a great verse to put there. It says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I love that verse. Be strong and immovable. Don't be like a weather vane that goes like this when the wind blows. Be strong, be anchored. Anchored and strong, be immovable. That's what Christ is telling us to be. Be different, be immovable, be strong, and work enthusiastically for the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord. Number one, be different. Number two, be determined. Be determined. In verses 8 through 18, it says this, therefore at the time there were certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the symphony sounds and they have to fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever doesn't fall down is going to be burned up. But you know there's certain Jews here. Hey, certain Jews that you've appointed. Hey, they're not doing what you told them to do. You see, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of rage and fury, and he gave that command to bring those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there to them so he could speak to them. And he gave them that chance. He says, is it true? And if you're ready now, if you just do what I ask you to do, everything's going to be okay. But you see in verse number 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You see, when these three men refused to bow, then what happened? Well, there was people who were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe they took the jobs that they wanted. Maybe they were appointed to positions that they wanted. But whatever it was, they came to the king and said, hey, king, guess what? We've got a problem here. You gave this decree, and we've got three guys over here. They're not listening. Did you see those three guys were determined? They were determined when they came in front of the king. Their determination stands as an example for us today. You see, these verses tell us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were accused of being enemies of the king. That's what they were accused of. But it's really true that they wouldn't, even though they wouldn't worship the king, they were still faithful servants of the king. Even though they wouldn't bow down, they were still faithful servants of the king. But you see, when the king's command violated the commands of God, they chose the God's way over man's way. When we decide and we're tired of the world's ways and we began to stand for Jesus, you can count on tough times coming your way. You can count on a little persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's believers over in the Middle East right now that are giving their lives under persecution. We haven't gone through that here, and hopefully we never will. But there are people over there that are standing up for Jesus Christ saying, I will not do what you're asking me to do. They were determined to stand, even in spite of the interrogation that King Nebuchadnezzar gave them. He's given them a chance to save their lives, to save face. He's given them that chance. He gives them a chance to bow, probably where no one else had the opportunity to see it. All they had to do was bow. Can't you almost hear Nebuchadnezzar maybe saying to those boys right now, hey guys, I know you're believers in the God of the Hebrews. I know that. But look, nobody's looking right now. Nobody's looking right now. Why not just do a quick bow? And it'll all be over. It's all done and over with. And you can keep your jobs, and the people here will still respect your testimony. But you see, even though Nebuchadnezzar gave them that opportunity, we know what they said. They were determined to stand for God. And there's going to be times when we go through life that the world is going to try to pin us down on what we believe. Sometimes the world feels like we're in that vice, and that vice is tightening down. Tries to make us squirm. Act differently. Act like the world. But we don't have a reason to back away from what we are. We don't have a reason to be ashamed of what we are. We don't have a reason to be ashamed of who we belong to. Peter gave us advice in 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. It says, instead you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about hope, as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectable way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. As I was studying that, and I read that verse, I thought about someone who's in the world today who has been a great testimony. His name is Tim Tebow. I'm not a Gator fan, but I am a Tim Tebow fan. And I'll tell you why. Because Tim has been pushed and pulled and yanked all around to be made look foolish in his Christian walk. And he has stood firm as far as I can see. You see, that's what the world will do to us. The world will try to mold us into that mold that they want us to be in. When the world doesn't understand us, we have to be determined to stand for God. You see, in spite of the intimidation that King Nebuchadnezzar gives him. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is really tightening up that vice on these three guys. He reminds them of the terrible death that they face. Guys, this is pretty serious. If you don't do what I ask you to do, there's going to be some tough penalty here. But notice how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respond to King Nebuchadnezzar's threats in verse 16. They answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You see, in effect, they're saying that this isn't their problem. Whether they live or die, it depends completely on the will of the Lord. They seem to be content to let whatever happens, happens. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. These men loved God so much that they couldn't be intimidated in doing something that they knew was evil. Help us to remember this story. When the world comes against us, when the flesh comes at us, when Satan comes at us to threaten us, help us to remember what these three guys went through. We don't want to miss the truth that regardless of whatever Nebuchadnezzar threw at these three guys, they stood solid on their ground. Just like 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, they were strong and immovable. They were strong and immovable. They didn't crumble under the pressure. Do you want to be on fire for God? Then you have to be different. And you've got to be determined. Number three, to be on fire for God, in verses 19 through 30, you have to be delivered. You have to be delivered. You know the story. I'm not going to read those verses. But you see, in verses 19 through 23, the three men were delivered to the flames. Nebuchadnezzar was so angry at their words that he ordered the furnace to be heated, what, seven times hotter than it ever had been before. He ordered those three men to be brought to him, bound in their street clothes, their turbans, their hats, their street clothes, their cloaks. Bind them with ropes, and throw them into the fire. He commanded his high men in the army to come and throw them in, and those men were killed because the thing was so hot. Just because we're believers, though, in Jesus, it doesn't guarantee us from having troubles in our life. Just look at what the world did to the Apostle Paul. What the world did to John the Baptist. And most of all, look at what the world did to Jesus. See, if they treated the greatest of men that way, we could probably expect some difficult times coming our way when we want to live differently and determined, and we want to be delivered. You see, they were delivered to the flames. Why didn't the Lord spare them from the fire? You see, he got more glory sending them into the fire and delivering them from the fire. They were met there by the Lord. He protected them. And he taught Nebuchadnezzar a very important lesson of who God really was. You see, Nebuchadnezzar meant to do them in, but God meant to set them free. They walked around in the fire unbound and unburned. You see, as we go through those fires in our life, God is right there with us. We can rest on the promise that he will always be there with us. They were delivered from the flames. Nebuchadnezzar called them out and determined that they hadn't even been burned. And in fact, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. I don't know about you, but when you go into a home that has a fireplace, you usually leave with a little bit of smoke on your clothes. Or when you go to the famous barbecue place that you go to, you usually leave and you go home and smell, oh, that smells like barbecue. But you see, these guys came out of the fire. They didn't even smell that way. They didn't even have their hair singed. Nothing. They were protected. Again, Philippians 1:21, Paul says, for me to live means living in Christ, and dying is even better. You see, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, as we close out this morning, were delivered after the flames. They were delivered after the flames. You see, after Nebuchadnezzar got them out of the furnace, he made a proclamation honoring God. And then he even promoted those three guys. You see, when we go through the fire with Jesus, Jesus will be honored, and we will grow as a result. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. For the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. That's a great verse. That's a great verse. My wife and I serve in convalescent ministry on Saturday. And a lot of the times while I'm leading worship, my wife will go and visit people in their rooms. And she was visiting with a Christian lady who had a roommate in the room of the Jewish faith. And my wife would go and share with them and spend time. Not preach, not thump them over the head with the Bible, but just trying to be friends with them. And she did that for a couple months. And a couple weeks ago, the Christian lady came to my wife and said, Jerry, I don't think you should come up to the room anymore. My roommate thinks you're trying to convert her. But you see, those seeds were planted. The seeds were planted. We may never see the fruit of those seeds, but somebody else is going to come across in water. Was my wife insulted? No. We've been through that before. Some people just don't want to hear. But you see, if we bear the name of Christ, we're going to be blessed. Why? Because the glorious Spirit of God, what? Rests upon us. Maybe you're in that fire this morning. Maybe you're facing difficult times. I don't know. I can guarantee that if you look to Christ, he'll be right there with you in the fire. Just as Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, when the storm came up and the disciples said, "Help us, please," Jesus got out of the back of the boat and said, "Quiet down." He was right there with the disciples. He never left. He never left the boat. He won't leave you. If you're a believer in him and you're walking in his will, he will be there with you. He loves you. Maybe you don't know Jesus this morning. Maybe what I'm talking about this morning says, hey Ron, this just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. Well, this morning I'm going to pray in my closing prayer. And if you repeat the prayer after I repeat it, you can know that you know that you know today that you'll spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. We're going to have prayer counselors down front this morning. They would love to pray with you. If you have a burden on your heart this morning, I encourage you to come and pray with them this morning. Are you on fire for God? Are you on fire for Christ? I love those signs that say, when you leave this church, you're entering the mission field. Oh, that is so true. It's so true. Are you ready to enter the mission field this morning?